So I believe now I'm in the end of the earth. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly come before your throne of grace. You are a very good God. You are a wonderful God. You always provide. You always love us. Father, you have gathered us this evening to hear your word. Only your word, it's what we desire. May you speak to us. May you challenge our hearts. Lord, I pray for your presence in our midst. May you speak to each one of us. Your word is power. It transforms, it changes things. And for a purpose, Lord, you have sent me to share your word. May you be glorified and exalted. As I begin in your name. And I have prayed in your very name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage that we have read this evening is Romans chapter 1, verse number 13 to 17. And I've entitled the message, The Power of the Gospel. The Power of the Gospel. In the passage, Apostle Paul is expressing his deep commitment to the gospel and his desire to preach it to all people. From verse number 13, Paul is planning. He's saying that he has been planning to share the gospel. Paul tells the believers in Rome that he had been often planning. He had that desire to visit Rome so that he might minister among the people. And after ministering, he must bear spiritual fruit. He had that intention to share the gospel. But he's saying something that I have been prevented. I could not make it. Though I had a desire. Though I planned. But I've been presented. So one thing that was coming to my mind is that always the gospel will face some challenges for a reason. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be resisted for a reason. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be distracted for a reason. Because it has power. It has power. And the other thing that Paul is showing us is the desire for a fruitful ministry. Paul longed to see lives being transformed through the preaching of the gospel. Not just preaching, not just meeting, maybe just having fellowship, praying together without transformation. Paul had a desire to see people's lives being transformed. He desired spiritual fruit among the Jews and even the Gentiles, those that have believed. So the gospel is purposeful. It's not that people should just hear. But when people have heard the gospel, their lives should be transformed. And that should be our desire. The other thing that Paul, we are seeing in the passage, is that Paul is feeling obligated to all people. It's like you owe somebody money and you need to pay. And the moment you are failing to pay back the loan, you lack peace. You are troubled. So this is the situation that Paul was. That's why he's saying, I am obligated. Paul understood that the gospel was not only for one group of people. He felt the divine obligation to preach the gospel to Greeks and non-Greeks. When you're talking about the Greeks, these are the people that they were wise. They always wanted facts in doing things. They use wisdom to understand things. And Paul says, even these kind of people, they need the gospel. In other words, the gospel is not selective. Everyone has to hear the gospel. Whether you are educated or you are not educated, whether you are in Africa, whether you are in Europe, whether you are in America, whether you are in China, you need the gospel. You need to hear the gospel. That's why he's saying, the gospel, I'm obligated. I have that obligation to preach this gospel to Greeks, even those that are non-Greeks. And he says, I want to preach it to the wise and even to the foolish. The gospel is not selective. Are we preaching to all people? Or are we selective in preaching the gospel, in sharing the word of God? And Paul says, I'm obligated to all nations and all people. Even the Chinese, they need the gospel. Americans, they need the gospel. Africans, they need the gospel. You know, the gospel is universal. The gospel is universal. And the other thing that we are seeing is the eagerness that Paul had. Despite the challenges that Paul was facing, the persecution, but he remained eager and ready to preach the gospel. That is why he was encouraging in Timothy, he was encouraging Timothy to preach the gospel, to preach the word, whether in season or out of season. And at this time around, you're so eager to preach the gospel in Rome. Why? Why Paul was so eager? Paul knew what he had carried. Paul knew that he had carried the solution to the nature of human being, nature of a human heart, which is full of sinful desires. And Paul knew this is the only thing that can transform human life. This is the only thing that can transform, that can change people's lives. This is the only thing that can change that young man at that corner who is addicted to drugs. Paul knew, I have the solution. I have the answer to the world. You know, when you have the solution, you must be so eager to bring it to the people that will get help. As Christians, as we have gathered this evening, do we know that we have that power? Do we know that God has entrusted us with that gospel? Do we know that we have the solution? The solution of the world. People have tried. Doctors have tried. Scientists have tried. Politicians have tried. Rules and laws have been put in place trying to change a human heart. But all these things have failed. All these things have failed. And Paul knew that I have that power. That is why in verse number 16, Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul boldly declares, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was confident because of what the gospel truly is. And he's saying the reason. He said that the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power. Verse number 16. I should read that again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. You know, when the Bible says to everyone, it's to everyone. Somebody who is depressed. Somebody who has lost hope. Somebody who is living a sinful life. Somebody who has committed serious crimes. But the Bible says the gospel has power to change that particular person. You know the reason Jesus Christ allowed the church to exist is to testify to the whole world so that all people should be saved. We have the gospel. What is the message of the gospel that we carry? Is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, on our behalf. He was buried, and after 3 days, he rose from the grave. That is the message that people should hear. By trusting this gospel, by trusting this message, people's lives will be changed. The gospel is not merely human teaching. It is God's power that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Salvation is available. And Paul says first to the Jew and even to the Gentile. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have gone through. But I want to challenge you. It's only the gospel that can transform your life. It's only the gospel that can change. And the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Through the gospel, God reveals how sinful people can become righteous before him through faith in Jesus Christ. It's only through the gospel. The righteous, the Bible concludes to say, the righteous shall live by faith. What are we doing with the gospel? Are we so eager to share the gospel? As believers, as Christians, or we are just satisfied that we gather, we have a fellowship, we sing nice songs, then after we have done that, it's okay. But I'm telling you, you have that power. That power is in you. God has entrusted the gospel with you so that you can take this gospel to the world. This is the reason of our existence. You know, when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, his disciples came in Acts chapter 1 and they were asking him, what next? Now that you have risen from the dead, what next? You know, if you were in Africa, it's like when a party has won elections, those people that supported that particular party, they had expectations to say, I'll get a huge contract. Maybe I'll be appointed a minister. I always have that feeling that the Peter and the other disciples, they felt now that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Wow. We'll be leading. When Jesus is establishing his kingdom, I'll be the minister. When Jesus will be establishing his kingdom, I'll get a better position. And you remember John and his brother already asked for better positions, to say that one should be at the right hand, the other should be at the left hand in God's kingdom. So these people, they were expecting to say, now that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, what next? As we have gathered, what next? When you have believed Christ, what next? When you become a born again, what next? So the disciples asked Jesus, what next? In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. And that's the purpose of the church. And that's the reason of our existence. We have carried that power that can transform nations. We have carried that power that can transform leaders, that can transform people. We have that power. And we need to take this message. We need to take this gospel to the far end. Maybe you cannot be there, but you can do something to make sure that the gospel is reaching each and every corner of the world. You can't be in Mozambique, but you can do something so that this power of the gospel is being preached there and lives being changed. I want to challenge you that you have the solution to the world. We have the gospel. You know, God chose, even the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to change lives. You know, when you are on the street and you try to preach, people will look at you that you're foolish. When you're preaching, people will give you names. But that's the way that God has chosen. That his gospel should be preached. That people's lives should be changed. Let's have that passion. That poor heart. He tried his best. He planned. He desired fruitful ministry to all people. He felt obligated. He had that responsibility to reach all people. He was eager and not ashamed because he knew that he has the gospel, which is the power of God to transform people, to change people, taking people from hell, pointing them to paradise, eternity. That's the word, that's the gospel that God has entrusted with the church. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord God, we have this question that we need to answer. What are we doing with the gospel? Which is your power to save people? Which is your power to transform people? What are we doing with that gospel as a church? Holy Spirit, may you continue speaking to us. May you continue challenging us. So that we embrace the example that Paul showed. He was so passionate for the gospel. He felt obligated. May we feel the same. He was so eager. May we feel the same. So that the gospel should be preached. So that people, after hearing, once they believe, we know they'll be saved. Their lives should be transformed. May you help us, oh Father God. May you help us. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen.